Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for May 26th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from 1 Samuel 12:19 through 25. They told Samuel, "Please pray to the Lord your God for us. We don't want to die. We have sinned many times in the past, and we were very wrong to ask for a king." Samuel answered, "Even though what you did was wrong, you don't need to be afraid. But you must always follow the Lord and worship him with all your heart. Don't worship idols. They don't have any power, and they can't help you or save you when you're in trouble. But the Lord has chosen you to be his own people. He will always take care of you so that everyone will know how great he is. I would be disobeying the Lord if I stopped praying for you. I will always teach you how to live right. You also must obey the Lord. You must worship him with all your heart and remember the great things he has done for you. But if you and your king do evil, the Lord will wipe you out." Saul becomes the first king of Israel when Israel rejects God's direct leadership and wants to be like all the other nations. Although God is direct through Samuel's prophecy that a king is a bad idea, God also is willing to go along with Israel in this idea, and even direct Samuel to Saul as God's choice. Even as Israel is choosing a path that God is not wild about, God is still providing. From the beginning, Saul seems like a bit of an odd choice. Saul comes from Benjamin, the tribe of least standing, and he's trying to find his dad's lost donkeys who've wandered off. What's most notable about Saul is apparently his height and good looks, or at least that's all the storytellers mention. It's not Saul who comes up with the idea of asking Samuel for discernment about where the donkeys are, it's his servant. Saul is ready to call it a day. Essentially, he's giving up. When he does meet Samuel, it feels an awful lot like Saul is being carried along with the tide. Saul is not sure he really ought to be put in leadership and says as much. Once he's been anointed and the ceremony to make him the official king is held, he's skulking behind the baggage, trying not to be noticed. In the early stories of Saul, it's clear that he is being led by the Spirit. God made Saul feel like a different person, 1 Samuel 10:9. Much to the surprise of those who know him, Saul is prophesying and acting in ways that aren't in line with who he has been. Saul's first act of leadership is to oppose an enemy invasion, and this action is attributed to the Spirit working through him. It's this that confirms in Israel's mind that Saul is the right guy for the job. But things don't continue smoothly for Saul in Israel. Samuel sees Saul's coronation as king as an invitation to retire. Samuel names his own faithfulness and then the expectation of faithfulness for the king. He reminds Israel of God's provision and care for them, and warns them against turning away from God, something they've already done in asking for a king. Samuel recognizes that there is a new political reality, a new system in place for Israel, but he insists that the foundational reality of trust in God is still essential. Samuel is doing his best to convince Israel to remain faithful and dependent, even in this new system of leadership. Ironically, it's immediately after Samuel has given this speech to Israel that Saul begins to abuse his power and act in the ways that Samuel warned them about. Saul raises a standing army, one of the abuses that Samuel was clear would come. Saul takes over the role of priest, and in his impatience and sense of need, he won't wait for Samuel. Saul disobeys what God has asked him to do, and this becomes a consistent pattern that will end in God rejecting Saul as king and lead to the anointing of David. On the surface, this feels like a "I told you so" kind of story. But pushing in, why did God choose Saul if it was clear that Saul would fail? Why, when Saul does fail, and the concept of kings is clearly fraught, does God allow and direct Samuel to anoint a different king in David? These kinds of questions present all kinds of theological quandaries. If God knows the future and has the power to change it, why does God allow human blundering to mess it up? Did God know that Saul would be a colossal screw-up, or did God think that perhaps Saul was moldable to God's purposes? The storytellers don't address these philosophical wonderings because they're focused in a different place. The focus here is one of faithfulness, or the lack of it. Even ditzy, good-looking, good-natured Saul could be a conduit for God's power, and even Saul could be corrupted by power. At the beginning of Saul's abuse of power seems to be for good purposes, running off enemies and protecting Israel. Yet Saul's methods and focus mattered. God did not desire a king to take God's place. Dependency and faithfulness were still God's intention. Even well-intended self-sufficiency stands outside of God's ideas and purpose. For us, kings and power might seem far removed. However, the concepts remain the same. Who is in control of our lives? Who do we trust for guidance and provision? When we've been released and commissioned by God for whatever task or leadership or calling, are we willing to remain faithful and dependent on God's direction, or do we take control ourselves? Saul will go from a wandering donkey retriever to king of Israel, and in that transition will change from a relatively well-cared-for, if not clueless son, to a self-sufficient and scheming power broker who will eventually bring his whole kingdom to civil war and his family to a bad end. Through it all, God will remain faithful to Israel, ready to guide and lead and provide. Some questions for today. When you are blessed with responsibility or leadership, how are you careful to remember that you are a steward of God's intentions? How are you intentional to pay attention to collaborate with God? How might God be calling you to collaborate today?